It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, new technology gets rolled out every day, seemingly, and sometimes it's tough to keep up. Are you a person who really has to have the latest mobile gadget, or are you content to keep what you have as long as there's any life in the old battery? Use that smartphone to tweet us at WPR Mornings. You can also email us, WPRideas@WPR.org, or really go old school and call us at 800-642-1234. This hour, we're going to have a chat with Omar Gallega, a freelance technology and culture and personal technology writer. Good morning, Omar, and welcome to the morning show.
Me.
Omar, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, there you are. Okay, well,
I need sorry about that.
My headphones weren't working quite right for just a second there. Apple recently launched its newest set of iPhones, and people are clamoring for them. What are some of the standout features of these new phones?
Well, if you're coming from last year's iPhone X or 10, as some people call it, it's not a lot of big improvements. It's, you know, a much better camera. It's a little bit faster performance. They've got this max version that has a much bigger screen than last year's. But it's a lot of incremental changes. If you're coming from an older iPhone, like an iPhone 8 or a 7 or a 6, it's a pretty whopping big change. I'm upgrading from an 8 to this new one, to the XS, and it is a big noticeable change in terms of performance, in terms of just how good a picture it takes when you snap that that photo button. It's going to wow a lot of people that are coming from an older phone. We're sort of in that year cycle where it's the S version of their phones, as opposed to like last year when it was a big change to the iPhone X. So we're kind of in that second year cycle where it's more, you know, less physical changes and more what's on the inside of the phone.
Well, I guess this is one of those days when I really feel like some kind of a Luddite, because not only do I have an iPhone 6 still, but I actually still own an iPhone 3 and an iPhone 4. Not that I've used either one of them any time since 2012, but I'm clearly not keeping up. Do we really need all of these new features? I mean, if you're not a big techie, if you don't use your phone to take a lot of photos, how much sense does it make for you to get one of these new phones?
I think it really depends on what your lifestyle is using your phone. If you are someone who uses your phone constantly every day, you're snapping photos and taking videos, you're browsing the web all day, you know, you're using it. If you're kind of a power user, the phones are a pretty good investment. You're going to get your money's worth, even though these are the most expensive iPhones that have ever launched. You're going to get a lot of use out of it because they're much faster. They have better battery life. If you have an iPhone 6, your battery life is probably chugging right about now. You're probably not getting more than 5 or 6 hours of battery life every day. These phones will probably double that. And also, there's an alternative to these newer, more expensive phones. In a month, Apple is going to be launching one called the iPhone XR. XR, which is geared more toward people who want a less expensive phone with some of these new features. So it'll have a really good camera. It'll have the same battery life. It'll just have a slightly different housing, a different aluminum case on it, and won't be quite as wow as these new phones, but it'll be priced several hundred dollars less.
Well, let's talk about the cost. These new iPhone X models are pretty spendy.
They are. The XS tops over, I think, starts at about $999, and the XS Max, which is the big, gigantic 6.5-inch screen phone, tops out at about $1,500 if you were to get it with, you know, the maximum amount of memory on it. So, these are very pricey phones. And what Apple and a lot of the wireless companies are doing is they're offering them more like rentals than purchasing. Rather than the sticker shock of buying a phone for $1,500, you're more likely to put it on a plan where you're paying $40 or $50 a month. And when it comes time to upgrade in a year or two, then you're just trading it in for the next model up. So you're not actually ever purchasing the phone or owning it outright. That's what a lot of people are doing. Apple's upgrade plan, which became very popular last year with the iPhone X, that's what a lot of people are doing now. So rather than, you know, spending $1,200, $1,300 on a phone, you're spending $40 or $50 a month, and then just a year from now, getting the next one up.
Okay, well, it's still a big investment, and we have to, you know, each of us has to think about what we really want. When we continue our discussion, Omar, I want to zoom out and maybe take a look, get a little broader view of the advancing technology why do we need a new phone every couple of years? Is this something we've been conditioned to assume? And I'd also like to hear from some listeners on this. Are you going to make an investment in the new iPhone, one of the new iPhone X models? Or are you not an Apple person at all? You're going to buy something else, but you're going to make an investment in new technology. 800-642-1234 is the old school method of getting in touch. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. I'm John Munson. This is the Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the Morning Show on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, we're talking this hour about the latest developments in personal technology with Omar Gayaga, freelance technology culture and personal technology writer. When it comes to new technology, sometimes it's hard to sort out what you really need from what maybe you want. So when you get right down to it, which features does the average person really need from their smartphone?
I think basically, making calls, which some people still do, you want to have a pretty good connection and be able to hear the person and have them hear you. That's a pretty basic thing that I think we take for granted when we're shopping for phones, but it's important still. Taking photos, I think that is a major, major, major selling point for these new generations of phones, is the cameras keep getting better. They keep, are taking better photos. That is one difference that you can really tell from, say, an iPhone 5 or 6 to these current generations of phones. And that goes for Google's Pixel phones, Samsung's Galaxy phones. They are all getting better and better with photos and videos. You can take more photos in low light. You can take just better quality pictures. You really do start to see the difference if you're just taking photos of your kids or whatever every day. And also just a phone that just is responsive, that when you're trying to look up something online, it's not just hanging on you, that it's going to be able to let you switch between apps or pull up your contacts or whatever, and you're not sitting there, waiting for it to do that. I think responsiveness is a huge thing, and that's a very intuitive kind of feeling, that when you're using a phone, oh yeah, this feels snappier, this feels faster. You can just sort of sense it when you're playing around with a newer phone compared to an older phone.
Well, I mean, one of the problems here kind of is maybe the pace of change, because anybody who's been using PCs for or whatever personal computing devices you've been using for a number of years, and someone my age, for example, still remembers the Commodore 64. But every time there's a new version that comes out, initially, man, they're all lightning fast and the batteries last forever. And then about the time that a new model comes out, all of a sudden you notice your processor is not maybe keeping up, and your battery is going bad a lot quicker. What expectations can we have if we buy one of these new $1,000 or even $1,500 gadgets that in a year or two it's still going to be working properly?
I had a Commodore VIC-20. I go back even further than that. I think that if you're going to spend this much money on a phone and you're not doing it on an upgrade plan, you want the phone to last at least 2 or 3 years. That's a typical upgrade cycle for most people. I think that the people that are upgrading every year, that's sort of the exception. That's sort of the people that have to have the latest and greatest, that are living on their phones every day, people like me, maybe. So most people are not doing that. But I think if you're, like I said, in the iPhone 5, iPhone 6 generation, now is a good time to upgrade, because your phone is probably struggling with battery life. You're probably not getting the most out of it in terms of speed. That's a good upgrade and a good jump. And that goes for, whether you want to switch to that or to a Samsung or to a Google Pixel phone. Mm-hmm. All of those top tier phones are going to do a lot of the same things. You really cannot go wrong with a Galaxy 9 or a Pixel 2 or 3. Google's getting ready to come out with a new set of phones as well. And even last year's iPhone generations are great. The iPhone 8 is still a great phone. The iPhone original X is still a great phone. You really are not going to go wrong with any of these. It's just a matter of how much you want to spend and how long you want that phone to last. Do you want to get something now that's going to last you 3 years? or do you want to get something from last year that might only last you another year or two? It's really just a matter of your budget and really what is most important to you. Are you an amateur photographer? Get a phone with the best camera.
So is the importance of the camera maybe a function of age, how old you are?
It might be. I mean, if you're an Instagram person, if you want to take the prettiest, most dynamic HDR Instagram photos, yeah, you're going to want one of these newer phones. But I just find that, you know, even photographers, I know professional journalism photographers who are relying more and more on their smartphone. They're not going to haul out the gear every time they need to take a photo. They're going to use, as photographers say, you know, the camera that you have with you is always the best camera. I think even photographers are looking at these new phones and going, you know, this takes probably 90% of what I need, that I don't have to haul out the SLR camera with all the, you know, all the lighting gear.
Yeah, I just carry this pocket ripper around with me everywhere. Omar Gayaga is a freelance technology, culture, and personal technology writer. Coming up, we'll talk about ways to stay current with technology without breaking your bank account. You're going to want to hear that. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, lots and lots of new personal tech and smartphones on the market these days, and more coming at a faster and faster pace. How do you keep up? We're talking about that with Omar Gayaga, freelance technology, culture, and personal technology writer. So what's your take on all the new gadgets? Planning on getting a new phone or keeping your old one? 800-642-1234. Go old school on us. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR. Mornings. I am not on Snapchat. For those who really want to get the newest phone every time, is there some strategy, Omar, that we can deploy to keep costs down? What can we do?
I mentioned earlier that Apple and the wireless carriers have the upgrade program. That's what I switched to last year when I got the iPhone 8. And that allows you to just pay a monthly fee. You're basically renting the phone or leasing the phone versus buying it outright. So that's one way to get in on these newer phones without having that sticker shock of paying, you know, $1,000 or $1,500. And within a year, you know, you can upgrade to the next one up and just keep doing that if you like. The other thing, if you already own your phone, is to trade in. You might get a surprisingly good amount of money from a wireless carrier if you trade in for the new model. I've in the past gotten $300 or $400 for an older phone. There's sites like Gazelle that allow you to do that they'll quote you a price and lock in that price until you're ready to send in your phone. So there's a few ways. And I mean, I think that if you're really cost conscious, I think the best thing you can do is get last year's model. Don't get the new ones. Get the ones that have a gigantic price drop whenever the new ones come out. That's really the sweet spot for most people budget-wise.
I think I'll send my iPhone 3 to a museum.
sure.
So you hit on something that I think all of us have noticed. Every time a new phone comes out, the old ones, the price drops. It's the same thing with video monitors, televisions, everything. As soon as new tech comes out, the most recent generation drops pretty quickly in price. But... there's a downside to that too, isn't there? I mean, particularly with phones, as operating systems are continuously upgrading, don't we run the risk that our phone will quickly stop working the way we want it to?
Typically, let me give you an example of the phone battery. That is something that wears out more from use than from it being an older model. If you were to buy an iPhone 8 today, that battery is going to last about as long as if you bought an iPhone X right now. So it's not so much that, it's more that the kind of wear and tear that we put on the phone from using it every day. So I think, you know, even the older models that Apple is still selling right now, they're still selling the iPhone 7. You can still buy one from Apple right now. It's still going to be a pretty significant upgrade from, say, an iPhone 5 or a 6. Mm-hmm. And it's still going to last you probably 2 or 3 years if you're not someone who wants to upgrade every year or two. You're still going to get quite a lot of use out of it.
So maybe you're somebody who just doesn't like tossing aside a perfectly good piece of technology just to have the latest gadget. How can you get the most out of your older one? Let's say I want to keep my iPhone 6. How could I make that last a little longer?
Yeah, I mean, upgrading a phone can be a hassle. I mean, transferring your data and, you know, you're going to have new features that you might not be used to. You might have apps that are not going to work on the new phone, which is a problem. So if you want to keep your phone, you're perfectly happy with it. You just wish it maybe was faster or a little, the battery life was better. I mean, there are things you can do like replacing the battery. Even if it's an internal battery, you can take it to Apple or Samsung or whomever and have them pay to replace the battery. You're still going to get a much better battery life than if you were to buy it's not going to be as much as if you bought a new phone, but you're going to get a lot more life out of it. Mm-hmm. And one thing I recommend people do if they're having just general glitches and slowness is backing up the phone, restoring it, and then putting your information back on the phone. That can fix a lot of just weird random glitches that come from having a phone for a couple of years.
Okay. We had a caller from Milwaukee who couldn't stay with us. Ian says he used to be the person who upgraded as soon as new technologies came out. Now, he says he realizes it's a false urgency and he doesn't need the latest minor upgrades. The one that's a little older is just fine for what he needs. What about it? Do we have this kind of false urgency created by marketing?
We definitely have a plateau that smartphones have hit where it's not so such a dramatic, significant change from year to year. I mean, if you think back to when Apple went from the iPhone to the iPhone 3G, I mean, that was, you know, oh my God, it's on the 3G network. That's incredible. Oh, I got to get a new
phone.
That was a big change. But now the changes are much more internal. They're much more incremental. They have much more to do with the processing and some of the things that are going on behind the scenes. And like I said, unless you really are someone who takes a lot of photos and photography is the most important thing to you, generally year to year is not an upgrade cycle that most people need to be engaged with. 2-3 years is much more typical.
Well, we've just gotten accustomed to the kind of performance that we get, you know, and if you do think back to the first generation of iPhones and the real smartphone revolution, you know, what we have now is just so much superior to that in terms of speed and the computing power inside. But we just assume that everything is going to work. And so maybe we don't notice some of these technology changes as much because we're just so used to having such great service.
Yeah, and I think what happens is whenever there's any flaw, like any software issue or there's a battery drain issue, you hear about it. People, you know, you have like AntennaGate or all these, you know, scandals around Apple of like, oh, this thing, you know, they messed something up or there's a glitch or a bug. And, you know, people are very, very vocal about it because you expect these phones, you're spending over $1,000, you expect it to work perfectly. And if it doesn't, you know, people get online, they get vocal, they complain until Apple or whoever else fixes the problem.
Well, and our technology often does things that we don't even realize we can use. Even our old tech is still pretty impressive. What are some things that most people's smartphones can do that maybe they don't realize or take enough of an advantage of?
The thing I've seen most recently is people getting really interested in smart home technology. Things like you mentioned in the pledge drive, you know, the smart speakers, the home automation stuff. I mean, in my house, I have some smart lights set up, the Hue Philips lights that are LEDs, and you know, I can tell Alexa, you know, Alexa, turn on the office, Alexa, turn off living room, and all my lights go up at the same time or go down at the same time. I can dim them. That's something that a lot of people are starting to get into as the stuff is starting to work better now than it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, your smartphone is typically the hub for all those things. You're typically going to use your phone to control a lot of these things or to set them up. So I think that's one very powerful thing you can do with your phone, even an older one, is start using it to set up some of these automated devices in your home and start communicating with them. I think that's a really powerful way to use even an older smartphone. That's a reason to keep a phone around that you're not using anymore, is to just use it as a remote or use it for games or things like that. So there's a good case for keeping an old phone that you're not going to get much trade-in value for. And I gave an iPhone 6 to my oldest daughter, and she uses that for chatting. She uses it. I mean, it's not connected to any phone line, but she's still able to use it as a smart device.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like an iPod.
Basically, yeah. And my other daughter has a much older iPod. That's what she uses.
I think I might still have one of those laying around in the technology drawer at home somewhere. One of the things, though, people are concerned about with some of the smart home devices and so forth is security. How safe is the new technology in terms of preventing ourselves from being hacked?
It's getting better. There are definitely some big problems in the IoT or the Internet of Things space that are still being addressed. But I mean, I remember hearing 4 or 5 years ago this huge panic of like, we're not doing anything about security for these things. Anyone can get into these devices. And I think the industry really took that to heart and started improving the security. But, you know, it really depends on what you're using. If you're using Alexa, you know, the stakes are maybe it might be able to listen in on your conversations. If you're using smart cameras in your house, someone might be able to sort of drop in and view what you're doing if they hack in. It really depends on what you're using. The ones I find most problematic is smart locks. You know, these automated door, you know, padlock or locks for entry to your house. Like mm-hmm. That's one that I don't quite trust yet. I don't quite trust my house to a, you know, a Wi-Fi lock.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal. Sometimes, though, there's a talking about older technology. There's a simple operating system update that can make an older phone feel new. Apple did just release its new operating system, iOS 12. What are some of the coolest features of this new operating system?
iOS 12 is getting pretty good reviews. There have been some problematic releases in the past that did not wow people. This one seems like a lot of big improvements and no dramatic changes that are going to turn people off. One of the ones that people I'm hearing talk about the most is being able to monitor your smartphone usage. That's great if you have kids as well that have phones, is you're able to see exactly how much time you're spending on your phone and track it, and also seeing how much you're using each particular app. So you can say, oh my goodness, I spent 4 hours on Twitter yesterday. What is wrong with me? Oh, wait, it's the president. you can actually see, you know, in graphical form, like, oh, wow, that's how much time I'm spending on my device. So that's a very, very big feature that Apple just introduced. Also, there's just a lot of incremental improvements all around. What I've heard it described as it's just less messy. There's less sprawl, and they've really tidied up the OS. So there's not all these weird random features. They've really kind of refined the experience. So, and it just seems snappier and a little bit speedier overall, even on older devices. It feels like they've eliminated a little bit of the bloat that had been developing over the last couple of OSs.
Are there some fun new features in iOS 12?
The one that Apple has been pushing that I think is another one that people aren't aware of or don't use much is AR, which is augmented reality. Apple's really been making a push on this for the last couple of generations of phones. And this is basically when you use your phone camera to use software that can add layers to reality. So it's great for gaming. It's great for there's an app that uses Legos, kind of virtual Legos laid over the world in front of you. So augmented reality is one that I think Apple keeps pushing on it, and people still aren't quite sold on it or aware of it. But there's some really great gaming apps and educational apps that use that technology and that people should probably be checking out.
Well, you can even play a Thomas the Train game where they build tracks around the room using AR on the iPad. Wow, what'll they think of next? Gosh.
I guess absolutely.
I'll have to get rid of my buggy whips. Omar Gayaga, a freelance technology, culture, and personal technology writer. Omar, thank you for joining me this morning. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, of course. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.